Yo, what's up? Welcome to Beefs. Send me an email at beefle04@gmail.com, patreon.com/beefsplace. Like I said in the last podcast, I don't know, like, even Sam Harris got away from, like, the patron model. The guys at Shift F1 seem to be doing well with it, but they give, like, a bunch of extras to patrons, so maybe that's the difference. I don't know. Now you have to subscribe to the Making Sense podcast. It just cuts off halfway through, and he definitely left like a tantalizing little tidbit to get you to want to buy it. It was pretty funny. Anyway, I finally submitted someone in jiu-jitsu. I started in June, but I haven't done it like super consistently because I did June, July, and then August, September I didn't. In October I only went a few times. In November I went about like twice a week, and then got back for pre-Thanksgiving, didn't go again for that like 3 days because I would have had to turn my membership back on at the place. I didn't want to pay for a week of November, so I waited till December. Monday, I was still feeling off from the travel. I visited my parents on Thanksgiving. Flew back. Kind of felt off Monday. Tuesday, felt a little better, so went and got my jiu-jitsu on. Didn't get my lift on that day, but I finally got a membership to the club that's in my building on my floor. Now it's suboptimal. I can do everything I want to do, which is basically like squat, a couple kinds of squats, deadlifts, bench, in a couple of like auxiliary exercises. It has every piece of equipment I need to run my routine that I'm into now that I like. The only issue is it's like not perfect. It's like there's kind of like a rack on the other side of a Smith machine, and it's like just not easy to use. In any case, so finally got my lift on again since I left lovely Cincinnati. But finally tapped someone. So you know, it when you first start, you can't do anything. You know, one move. And you're really just kind of a punching bag. Almost like you don't know anything. It's not even like boxing where maybe you know how to throw a punch, but you just can't do the combination of things required to get in position to hit. With jiu-jitsu, it's like you're like wrestling, but man, when they know what they're doing, it's just you don't really have a chance. They just sort of work you. Even smaller, much weaker people. It really works because it worked on me. And I cranked a few times on these dudes and it didn't matter. I mean, it was harder for them, no doubt, than it would have been on a smaller opponent. Sometimes like, Jesus, you're strong. Humble brag. Hashtag, I'm awesome. Hashtag, humblest person ever. In any case, at first you're just kind of there. You're just there. You're flailing about. It's sort of meaningless. Then you have a few things you're attempting but can't even begin to get right because you're forgetting steps. There's all sorts of like nuances to these moves. It's not simple at all. You can learn to do a proper strike in about, I would say, about a minute. And I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say this. Now, mastering it, doing it proper, all that, yeah, maybe not. Maybe there's a lot of tweaking to do, but the basic movement's pretty simple. Twist, hips, punch, right? And then there's like, you know, different variations on how you're going to throw a hook and a jab and all that, and where your fist you want to hit the target and all that sort of stuff. But this is different. This is almost like, there's so many steps. It's like baking or something. There's just a lot of stuff to do, remember. Anyway, I so you can't you learn a few of these moves and you start to kind of pick it up on it. Then and you try to execute them, but you can't. Like I said, you just, you're missing a step here or there. And the opponent, when you're drilling, yeah, it works. You got time to think. When you're doing it live, it should be pretty self-evident. You don't have time to think. You don't have time to stop and go, oh, okay, what do I do now? There's certain parts where you, actually, there's certain moments where you can and certain ones you can't. The other thing is you don't know that many moves. So for me, I know how to do a basic Kimura, an Americana, a triangle, an armbar, an omoplata, and some a couple crazy, I can't remember the names of it, like a heel hook variation, a couple, really just one throw. I was taught about three or four, but I only remember one. This is from standing. It's kind of judo kind of thing. I kind of can do a guillotine standing and from the lower guard, closed lower guard. Yeah, closed guard. But again, like, I kind of know how to do this stuff, and I come close, especially with the guillotine. You just get into situations where you can, people put themselves in bad spots. So you first, when I first started out, I was only going up against, I shouldn't say only, mostly against like blue belts, purple belts, and above, and just getting housed and taught. The few times I went up against white belts, what I didn't like about it was something goes through their head where it's like, okay, this is another white belt. It goes through my head too. And I'm going to like, I got to win this. Because you're just losing, 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 getting tapped, maybe making it for a while and not getting, like, playing defense. And that's the other thing you do. You just play defense. You're just, like, hoping that you don't do something bad enough that gives enough of an opening. How long can I last? In the beginning, I didn't know what I was doing. Then it was, like, how long can I last without getting tapped? Then it was, can I last the whole time? Then it was, can I at least attempt something? And then it starts becoming like, oh, I'm actually getting one or two things. There's another move, actually, I forgot. It was like a escape from a reversal from being in half guard, like the bad part of half guard. See, I don't even know what that's called. And you're defending. You're just trying to keep position. You're trying to slow the other guy down, really. And it's not easy. I outweigh most of my opponents by enough where they don't really want to go with me. They're like, ah, this guy's too big. I don't want to do this. Sometimes you can see it on their faces, like, ah. Because not only am I like kind of muscular, but I'm fat. So the problem with the advantage that being fat gives you is not just the weight. It makes it hard to lock in certain movements, especially like, full guard, because it's harder to wrap your legs around. Oh, well. So, and then Cincinnati, I was pretty much getting beaten pretty bad. I had a couple good moments. I was starting to get good at positioning. I was starting to get good at getting out of a bad position, i.e. being mounted or being in the wrong end of half guard. Reversing those situations, getting out of guillotine attempts, getting out of, like, I haven't been armbarred. It used to happen all the time, and I haven't been armbarred in some time. Now, I haven't gotten up against a highly skilled opponent, because in Cincinnati, what they did is they put, you couldn't, there are two classes, beginners and advanced. Well, actually, there's more, but those are the two. There was like all levels class, but I never went because it was like Friday evening and Saturday. And quite frankly, I was either drinking or hungover. It was an open bar. and I kind of wanted to hang out, so with my classmates and whatnot. Anywho, actually, I did go on Friday, but I went to the early class, the like afternoon rather than the evening class. So anyway, he was only other white belts. There was a few blue belts that showed up here and there. And I think that was more like a convenience thing for them because it was rare. But to go to the advanced class, it either had to be private invitation or you had to be a blue belt and above, and they won't even consider you unless you're like a 3 or 4 stripe white belt. The belt system in jiu-jitsu is far simpler than most. It's almost, I think it's as simple as the Marine Corps, because you, in jiu-jitsu, it goes white, blue, purple, brown, black, and then there's actually, like, black, red, and there's a couple of, like, special above black, but one of them is, like, in order to get one of them, you have to be, like, IBFB, whatever the... You have to be like a champ. You have to win like world championships and state championships and stuff like that. It's not one of those things where you say train for 20 years and you can do the katas perfectly, so you get a black belt because you know the movements. No, no, no. You actually have to beat other black belts. So that's a different thing. Marine Corps, real quick. I'm pretty sure I have this right. Tan, gray, green, brown, black, and then it goes black, I think. 6 degrees of black, and they're like little red stripes or something, and they're like instructor stripes, and you can have a green belt with an instructor stripe as well. So I got to gray in Marine Corps, but the Marine Corps martial arts program, getting the belts, you just had to show competence. So there was sparring. It was definitely light or ground. The way they did it is you had to show competence in the move and be able to handle like the basics of the class. It wasn't, if you were a Marine and you had a first class PFTE, basically you were going to get, even not, maybe you could get through this thing and get your belts. I'm not downplaying its effectiveness or anything like that. I'm just saying it was more of a, can you pass the test? From what I can understand, jiu-jitsu, the guy who trains you just decides. Although, on Rogan, yeah, that should have been how I started this. I'm technically a blue belt. Okay, so back to this, the whole I finally tapped somebody thing. So like I said, I came close a few times to getting an Americana. It's a pretty simple move, and it works to my strengths because you do it from, or at least the way I know how to do it, is like basically half guard is a little bit easier, and you can also do it from full guard. I did it from mount. And what you're basically doing is taking someone's arm, if you can imagine it, at a 90-degree angle, meaning the elbow and the shoulder, and then you grab it in such a way that it's like with his hand by his head, palm facing up. And then you bring it down and then twist it. It's like a sort of shoulder movement. It's pretty simple. I can remember it pretty close. And it's, like I said, it falls into my strengths because I can just like use my weight, even against other heavy opponents. They're not used to going up. The thing is, there's... my weight is so rare. Most of these guys that are in this thing are fit, meaning skinny. They're CrossFit dudes, or they just do jiu-jitsu. Or it's very rare that you see like a weightlifter. And I'm not joking when I say this. You believe it or not, or they're skinny fat. For real, some of these black belts, you look at them and go, pff. They're the kind of guys you'd see at a restaurant and think, that's the guy if I have to fight somebody. And then you'd get killed because it doesn't actually require that much physical prowess, including cardio. And I'll get to that in a second. So even the big dudes I go up against, this kind of stuff, you can use your weight to your advantage because they're not used to going up against big dudes. They're used to going up against the other little guys. Now, those little guys might be better skilled and have more gas tank and then, you know, try to do an up-tempo type of roll. That will work into a fit person's favor, and I've had that happen to me where a guy sized me up and said, all right, this guy outweighs me, but I got him on skill, and I'm sure his cardio, like, it ain't S. So I'm just going to, like, keep it kinetic, keep it going, flow, flow, flow. He's going to gas, and then I'm going to, and then slowly but surely, he's just going to basically give up. And then I'm going to be able to get him into something after he's gassed. So there's different, you know, different body types, different strategies, you know. So, almost had this thing on a guy. It was actually a blue belt, but he was, you know, average guy, probably about 150 pounds, 5'8". I'm 5'10", like 240. So you can imagine 90 pounds. He still managed to, you know, stop it. Well, yesterday, doing no-gi, no less, which I do not like as much as I like gi. I like being able to grab onto the gi and whatnot. The other problem with no-gi is it's way more kinetic. It's like way more like wrestling, and I feel like it's more anarchic. Like, I got flipped. I tried to take some guy's back, and he just stood up and threw me over on a mat area that's just not large enough. And even the thing is, like, around here, there was another place I could have gone that had a monstrous mat size, but there's so many people, it's like super crowded. There's not enough jiu-jitsu places in Atlanta. I wish I could open one, because both of the good ones here are in, like, they're like 15 minutes apart. Put one sort of like downtown would be pretty sweet. Anyway, so day starts and we're doing a bunch of leg stuff, just like easy. And then we decide to roll, and I go up against a guy I've been training with. It's another white belt. It's kind of an older guy. He was pretty skillful. And I couldn't quite get anything on him. He knew it was coming, and he was able to escape it. He kept trying to do a Kimura to me over and over and over again. Then I went up against and the guy was like a little bit smaller, still kind of, he's kind of like a chubby, kind of mildly unfit, getting fit type of old dude, like my age. Then I go up against this dude, black guy, fat, and he is like, he had done it for a few years and had stopped for a few years. So when I told him I was a white belt, I think he was just like, I gotta get this guy. But he was gassed. So what ended up happening is we didn't even start for like, he needed like a 2-minute rest before we even started, which is no problem. I kind of didn't need it because I'm pretty good at, I've become good at saving my gas. So saving the tank. There's certain times where it's just like flailing is not going to do any good. He's in a position where until he moves and tries to do something, I'm not going to do anything because I'm not getting hurt. He's not gaining any advantage, and I'm just going to sit here and rest and wait for him. Usually with inexperienced guys, impatience. It used to happen to me all the time. These like upper belts would just wait. Like I would kind of get him in a bad spot, and then they'd wait. I'd be like, he's going to get impatient. And when he does, he's going to do something stupid. And I learn. Like, oh, I'm going to do that. Okay. So, went up against this dude. And he was like, man, do you have like a wrestling background? Humble brag again. I'm like, no, just this. It wasn't. And I didn't do anything crazy with him. I just did these like, again, in Cincinnati, we did these, like, passing drills that I just remembered. It was a warm-up stuff. It was just for warm-up. The guy was like, hey, for warm-up, we're going to do these, like, passing drills. Instead of having you guys, like, roll around on the – because usually warm-ups, like, you run for about 5 or 6 minutes in a circle around the mat, and then you do forward rolls, backward rolls, back falls, these, like, all kinds of goofy sort of, you know, if you played sports, you know, like crab walks and duck walks and that sort of stuff. And some of these guys were like, let's do this thing. It's like a passing drill. You do this, and then the other guys, you do like a drill that like reverses your positions, and then the guy that you just did it reverse, you know, if you get the idea. So that's all good. And I sort of just picked up on it. So I was doing that to him, and I don't think it's ever happened where he couldn't. The other thing, this guy was like, he wasn't used to going up against someone as strong as him or as heavy as him. He thought I was heavier, so fine. I doubt it, but whatever. He definitely showed signs of like, I'm not used to having this much weight. You know, and you can tell when someone tries to bench press you. Now, you can bench press someone off of you. It's possible. However, you can do that maybe twice. Maybe. Once, if you're strong, you'll bench press someone off you. If they get back down on top of you, you're going to be gassed. And because it's not the same as like lifting weights exactly. And I think part of it's psychological anyway. But nothing happened. I almost had that dude in an Americana, because that's what I keep trying to land. I'm like, I can remember all the steps. I'm pretty sure I can get it. So that's what I try to do. I try to get myself in mount. The other thing I've noticed is I was able to pass guard on these guys nonstop. I got my, like, I would get myself to where I was trying to be offensive. I would try the offense. They would roll me. I'd roll back. Offensive, get rolled, because you put yourself in a kind of a vulnerable position. Because I don't do it exactly right. Get rolled, back in position, over and over again, which was nice. And then, and here's why I'm technically a blue belt. The technical qualification to be a blue belt, now you have, I think you have, it's got, there's a time component where you can't have been doing jiu-jitsu for less than a year. But really what it comes down to is, can you subdue a bigger, stronger opponent, unskilled opponent? What does that mean? Which makes me think there was a bunch of guys I was rolling with that would get me at my old gym, and suddenly they were blue belts. Although that, my first professor, I think they like to be called, had a thing where he had to see you execute like the very basic stuff, which is like a triangle, an arm bar. I can't remember what the other one was, like maybe a Kimura or an Americana. So after for the third roll, I'm just looking around for the biggest guy. Not because I'm trying to like be a tough guy, but because it's like, look, if I go up against Mr. Skinny Pants, that's great, and I don't have a problem with it. But it's giving me an unrealistic, I wanna like, that's not really pumping me up. Because number one, if I'm able to hold him off, I'm like, well, I'm stronger than that dude. And I'm much heavier. And I can't help, you cannot help but use your, and even if you're doing the moves properly, part of the moves is making it so that when you're on top, there's no space. Because you just want to pancake the guy. That's the thing. So I can't help it. If I'm doing a closed guard properly, I'm shutting down the amount of space, meaning I'm laying on top of you, meaning I'm using my weight. So I find the biggest dude, and this guy is like, gotta be, I don't know, like 6'4", maybe 6'2", 6'4". Like I can see like muscles underneath his rash guard, otherwise known as a dry fit shirt. It might be different, I don't know, but basically it's a, like a special dry fit shirt, like a real tight sort of lycra kind of looking thing for you. If you Google it, you'll be like, yeah, it looks like one of those dry fit shirts, Under Armour. So I just picked him out because he's huge. And the the professor's like, he's brand new, man. I'm like, okay, that's cool with me. I'm not going to like, I'm not, so am I. I'm going to be like, so am I. I don't really know much, so I know how to do a couple sweeps too. But again, I don't know if I've gotten it once on a, like a 15-year-old kid that was okay. I don't know if that counts. So we start going, and this guy has the new guy disease, which is like kind of trying a little too hard. And because they don't really, you don't really know what to do. You're just sort of flailing about. And I'm not good enough to like really play with him. But I am good enough to get where I want to get to. So I keep mounting him. And he wanted to start from standing, which is a bad idea for beginners. But I'm like, all right, that's what you want to do. So for the, I try to get him in a guillotine, and I can't quite get it. He's muscling the hell out of me. I mean, for real, he was definitely like stronger. But I get him in a full mount, and I'm trying to get the Americana, and I don't think he really knows what's happening because he's trying to do other things with my leg and stuff because we had just done all this leg lock. I'm like, no, we're not doing legs right now. Here's the thing. We're doing these like leg locks, but I don't know how to get to, because you start from nearly in the leg lock, but I don't know how to get close to the leg lock. Like if you give me your leg and let me get in my position, I got you. Right. So, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, okay, grab the wrist, C grip, now twist and pull, and I'm pulling it down and it's not enough. And then, because what you do is you first pull the wrist down, like towards his hips, away from his shoulders. And then if that doesn't work, you rotate. And I started rotating like nice and easy. I mean, he couldn't do anything. I think he was like straining and wiggling, but I don't know what I was just laying on top of him. Now that's not fair. I had him in full mount. I knew to get my hips away from his hips. So like once you get someone in full mount, what you're going to kind of end up is in kind of like a missionary position, or I should say girl on top. And you have to wiggle, you got to get away from like the sex position into the combat position. So you got to wiggle your hips up towards his chest. Because if you leave your hips where his hips are, he can bridge and he'll knock you off. Now, you could do a thing where you lock your legs underneath him, but good luck doing that if you're not very flexible, because it hurts. Like I've done it where I lock myself in and then the guy like sort of sits on my feet. I don't like it. So what I do is I just sort of wiggle up. And he didn't know that was going to... Because he had been taught to do a basic... I don't know what to call it. A mount reversal. Right? But he couldn't because... And I had done this to the other two guys too. Like as soon as I get a mount, I just wiggle right up. Otherwise, I'm going over. I'm not good enough to be smart enough to make sure that whichever arm he's grabbing for has to be there to stop it. Because if you can't put your arm forward, you're not going to stop it. And it's actually pretty easy to break, even if you put your arm out, to break it. I've managed that particular move a few times. Now, yes, I pass guard. I've reversed the mount. I've gotten out of full mount. I've gotten out of half guards. I've gone from half guard to full mount, but here's the thing. It's not the same. It doesn't have the same feeling. Tapping someone out. Got him in that Americana, started rotating, and he tapped, and I was just like, but I couldn't, what kind of stinks about it is you can't really celebrate. You can't be like, yes, this is the first time I did this, yes, because that's basically taking a dump on your opponent. But that's what I'm doing now. But I'm sure this guy doesn't listen to this podcast. And even if he was, I might recognize it. But maybe. Anyway. So, but I had to brag to someone. And you're my someones. Right. So I finally got it. And I'm like, and then I realized, like, I'm driving home, like, all kind of happy with myself. And it dawns on me, on a Joe Rogan podcast, a guy named, like, Farad Zahir. He's a trainer from Quebec who trains George St. Pierre. He's like the head coach kind of thing. He said that blue belt basically in jiu-jitsu means you can subdue, you can tap a stronger, larger, but unskilled opponent. And I just did that day twice. Well, I didn't tap the one dude, but I definitely, I didn't tap him. It was like, he was a lot more. And, but it made me so happy because this guy was a monster. A monster. His thighs are like as thick as my torso. And I did it. And I was able to like do stuff to him and it just worked. It was like a hot knife going through butter. Now, to be fair too, the next time I was like, okay, well this time I did that, so I'm not going to do that again because that's dumb. Right? I've already proven myself I can, maybe I could do it to the other side, but whatever. So I went for, I tried to get an arm bar, sort of triangle omoplata thing started, primarily going for a triangle, and I screwed it up, and I didn't get my leg over his arm, and then he, for a minute, got my back, which is kind of embarrassing, right? I mean, I should be killing you, but I guess not. I mean, I don't have that much experience. So, and then I kind of got hurt because he started executing a move that I've been practicing in Cincinnati that's like a, you basically rock back and you let the guy get on top of you, but with his back towards you. And you kind of like swing one way and get one foot around, swing, kind of rock him the other way, get your other foot in to get, like you basically your legs locked on the inside of his thighs. Well, when he did, he was starting to do that, and my brain went, okay, I know what you're doing. I'm gonna counter it. And that's not what he was doing. He didn't know, and he changed halfway through. So instead of going back, he pulled forward. He like pushed forward on my, like I ended up in a seated position with him like standing, basically with him trying to push my head between my legs from behind. So I kind of like had to resist that and then like very quickly go, okay, I need to get out of this. So I kind of slid around and did that. But, and then I had one hook in. People defend their necks really well. I gotta say, I've been tapped. It's mostly been triangles and Americanas, a couple arm bars, but that doesn't work anymore because I know what I'm doing now to the point where a simple arm bar isn't gonna, you're not gonna get me with that. And to try to shift to a triangle, you're not gonna get me with that either. Because it's been done to me so many times that I now know how to counter it. So, but I've never really been taught a rear naked choke yet. Anyway, I had his back, I got his back. I got one hook in, and as I was trying to get the other one, he managed to get on his stomach, and then he just went to like a wrestling stall, which is just lay on your stomach. And he held my hands in, and he was strong enough where I would have had a really, I don't have a technique for getting out of that. And so my technique would have been muscle my way out. I decided that muscle my way out isn't the way to go. So I looked up at the clock. It's like 30 seconds. I'm like, all right, I'm going to lay on top of you for 30 seconds. But I also knew that if I just laid there, he was going to do something. So the whole time I was kind of like wiggling a little bit, but not really. I made it seem like I was going for his neck, but in reality, I was just letting him stall out. So I was stalling as well. But there you go. I finally tapped someone out. And that's my story. And I'm not really a blue belt by any real definition, but I just thought it's funny because that one MMA head coach guy had said that the blue belt is this and blah, blah, blah. So anyhow, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed my little silly jiu-jitsu story. Yeah, send me an email at Gmail, beefalo04, patreon.com/peaceplace. All right, later. Te dos.